Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Live. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming back to another episode of the Head of Household Live Talk Show for the married man, getting married man, thinking about getting married man, being married man, and for the woman as well. Got a couple ground rules. No profanity, no judgmental remarks, and I guess that's it. Welcome all. Bear with me tonight on this topic. I did a little bit of research on it. It's very interesting. Hopefully I can get a lot of participation so we can get this thing going, because I don't really know a whole lot about it, but it is what it is. Pride in the name of love. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to kick it off with a situation that I had with my wife probably a month ago. And she had sent me a text message that was very disturbing in reference to one of my family members. And to me, it came across very disrespectful. Even though it may have seemed to have been true, but it just wasn't appropriate a thing for her to say to me. And I expressed how I felt with a return text. And what I said wasn't very nice, but it, to me, was appropriate. She could see that what she had said had really upset me. It took me to a place where I normally don't go. Okay? So I felt as though, well, I need to cut all communication for a couple hours, because I'm going to really say something that I'm going to regret. So I stopped talking to her via text. Then I got home and everything was cool. I didn't go over it again. But she never came back to say, I apologize for upsetting you. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, if I didn't bring it up again, she didn't bring it up again, even though she was the one that was wrong. And I think that's a pride thing. And the question that I want to throw out is, do we have a hard time apologizing in marriage?
Can I relay a message to you? Can I relay a situation to you?
Yes, sir.
Situations. And this comes from, us counseling of couples. We had a couple that's been married for 17 years. And one of his complaints is, my wife never says I'm sorry.
Wow.
And, you know, Glenn and I are really sticklers on absolutes. I mean, never and always, you always do this, you never do that. I mean, it's almost, I mean, that's just almost unheard of. It's not that kind of way. And I said, never. I said, never. And the wife was sitting right there, you know. And I said to him, I said, well, when was the last time you apologized for something? He said, probably, you know, yesterday or last week. I'm always apologizing for things. And I asked her, I said, is that true? She said, yeah, he apologizes. So I asked her, I said, when was the last time you apologized for something? And she got this stony look on her face, and she said, no. And I said, is it true what he said? You never apologize? And she said, I can't remember ever apologizing. And I thought, wow. You know, I mean, normally when we hear that kind of stuff and we confront it, it's not that way. But it was stone that way. Which I was just floored by. I'd never heard of that. And then a whole other couple that had been married for 10 years, it was the kind of same situation where the guy says, you know, when my wife is wrong, she doesn't apologize. And I, again, you know, confronted it, and she said, well, when I make you a cup of tea, that means I'm sorry.
Wow.
And it, so these are the things, these are real things that are out there.
Yeah, yeah. When I went to my marriage maintenance class, that was one of my complaints, actually. And what the pastor said was that that's just how she is. I'm going to have to kind of learn to work with it. Some people can say they're sorry and some people don't. You know what I mean? But I got a hard, I got a difficult time with that. Because if you're wrong, you know what I'm saying, and you upset someone with that action, I think you should make it right, especially in a marriage.
Yeah, we don't go along with that at all. In our resolving conflicts, when we teach people on resolving conflicts, you know, what the first thing that to resolve a conflict in a marriage, the first thing that has to happen is somebody has to say, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. If that doesn't happen, that's going to stew under the surface.
Yeah.
And the other person's going to feel like, oh, they've got a right to do whatever they want, whenever they want.
Yeah. 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 Do some of us wait for our spouse to say sorry in a situation like that?
I'll speak to that because, like, I know in my situation, like, even when I do say, because I'm not really, I don't really, I've gotten better with apologies. And I'll say that when I go to apologize, it'll be so immediate or so soon where my wife is not ready to receive the apology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's a genuine, sincere apology. I'm like, yo, I messed up and I was wrong. It doesn't even matter. I'm just like, I'm sorry. You know, and she's just not in a place to receive it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it can go for days, whereas she's just not ready to talk about it. So, you know, it's kind of difficult where I'm just ready to apologize. I'm ready just to move past it. And she's just like, nope, you know, I'm still upset. I'm still angry or whatever the case may be. I'm not ready for you to apologize. But
wow.
It's difficult to, you know, to go like days on end because I literally have to wait until she's in a place, until she's ready, you know, to even talk about it, and then to accept my apology. So I mean, it's difficult, and you know, I just always say, you know, life is too short. You know, tomorrow is not promised to nobody. So
yeah.
You know, the one thing about it, you know, if we on the outs or whatever, and you know, I went off to work, you know, like normal, and I didn't come back. Well, you know, I came, you know, something happened where I was, you know, God forbid, mangled or whatever the case may be, and it's like our last discussion was over, you know, something that we could have just, you know, say, you know what, you made a mistake, I made a mistake, let's just, you know. I think the one thing is that we have to realize is that even when we do apologize, it's like we're going to make another mistake at some point. It's not like we're going to just go for 50 more years and nobody's ever going to make another mistake. So I think that the whole thing is about, you know, we have unrealistic expectations on both sides to say, well, you know, he messed up or she messed up, and don't ever expect them to mess up ever again, which is just like, well, we're human.
Unheard of.
Yeah, we're human.
Can I comment on that?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I understand where your wife is because my wife is very similar to what you are. She'll do something that has bothered me, offended me, and she'll immediately say, I'm sorry, please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked up a good mad.
Worked up a good mad?
You know how I worked up a good mad and you ready?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then somebody just comes in, I'm sorry, forgive me. Now,
yep.
She's sincere, but I have worked up a good man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, mine doesn't go days. It never does that. But in order for me to accept her apology and forgive her, I have got to get her to understand what she did and how it hurt me. Okay? I can't just say, okay, you know, it's okay, I forgive you. If it's really bothering me, I'm not talking some little thing, I'm talking, you know, a major situation that's really hurt me. I need her to understand, when you did this, you disrespected and you dishonored me, and this is why it hurt me. And once I can have my say in explaining, you know, what it did to me, then I can accept the apology and I can forgive her. But I can't just say, okay, you're forgiven and that's it. That's just how I am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we always get to forgiveness and it never goes overnight. I mean, we don't believe in, you know, the sun setting on your anger. We just stay up and fight.
Hmm. So basically, the quick acknowledgement of doing wrong can be counterproductive at times.
It feels to me like you're not really sorry. And that hits me.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's saying it just to get something that you want, pretty much. Or just to get past it.
It's like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm please forgive me. And you're like, you don't know how you hurt me when you did that.
Is it like, I'm sorry, get over it kind of thing?
Yeah, it's not meant like that, but that's how it hits me.
Same with you, Rodney, and your wife?
Yeah, I'm just like...
I mean, have
you
expressed that to her, like, you know, I'm coming to say I'm sorry to you, and that's not good enough?
Yeah. Actually, we talked about it the other night, because... You know, literally, I'm just like, get over it. I guess that, and the whole thing with conflict is that we want everybody to deal with things, you know, like we do. And that's where conflict arises, because she's not the quick apology type. And then when she does apologize, it's, you know, it's a struggle. You know, it's really a struggle. Whereas I'm just like, you know, and I used to be prideful, you know, back to the topic, and, you know, think that I was all that in a bag of chips and all that good stuff. So I was like, you know what, you should be grateful, you know, whatever. You got me. I ain't got to apologize for this or that. But, you know, now I'm different, where I say, you know what, I'm sorry. I was absolutely wrong, and it's genuine, and she's not ready to receive that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a tough spot to be in, because I'm just like, it's just not. I just would hate for, you know, us to be having a disagreement for a day or a few days or whatever the case may be, and then something just catastrophic happen, you know, to one
yeah.
of us or a family member or something, just where it's like we shouldn't even have been at that place anyway, where, you know.
One of the things that my wife will add with, if I've worked up this good mad, she'll like, well, I apologize. I ask you to forgive me. I've done everything I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, you know, if you don't accept it, there's nothing else I can do.
Yeah.
And that even hits me wrong.
Yeah, but, I mean, she's telling the truth, because the ball is in your court now. You know, and that's the thing, is where that's why I'm just quick to apologize, because I don't want to let it fester. I'm like, you know what, I'm taking this off of me, and I'm giving it to you. Now, when you're ready to accept it, that's on you, but I put the ball in your court at this point.
That's exactly what she says to me. I've done everything I can do. I've taken it up. It's on you. If you don't want to forgive, that's up to you, but I've done what I can do. And that even hits me even wrong.
Hey, well, listen.
It's like, oh, you know, deal with it.
Well, at least yours says sorry.
Mm.
I mean, you got that going for you. I don't have that.
Okay. Yes, she does.
You know what I'm saying? I don't even have that. It's like an unspoken get over it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not even going to tell you get over it. You just figure it out and get over it. We, you know, let's just move on. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I can't do that, because it's still there.
It's still there.
At dinner.
With your situation, Tony, what I would have done, you know, I would have dealt with it.
Yeah. I did revisit it. I did revisit that same issue recently.
Because it doesn't go away.
I went back, and the reason why I revisited it recently is because I wanted to wait to see how long.
Oh, okay.
How long? So then, when it was never addressed, I brought it back up, and I said, you said something that bothered me. Regardless of whether it's right or wrong, it bothered me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Whether you think you're right or wrong, however you said it, your delivery, however it was, it bothered me.
Right.
And all I wanted you to do was make it right.
You know, one of the things that is really important for my wife and I mean, I could be as right as rain, but if I've hurt her, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? If she is offended by the way I've said something or something I've said, I could be as right can be, but if I've hurt her, I'm wrong. And I need
exactly.
to and ask her to forgive me for hurting her. Now, I could have been right in what I had said or everything, but if I said it in a way that offended her, even if I didn't mean to offend her, if it offended her, then I'm wrong, and I need to make that right.
Yep. 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 It's comedy because sometimes you feel like, damn, I just got punked. Excuse me for, you know, but that's how you feel like. You're liking me, you know. You know, it wouldn't happen in the street. It just would not happen at the workplace. But certain things happen in a marriage that, for some reason, we just sit back and say, okay, I got to deal with it. You know, and that's a pride thing. That's a pride thing. Are we afraid of the word I'm sorry or the apologize because we don't want to show a softer side? You think that's what it is? Because sometimes, you know, they don't want to, you know, look vulnerable when they say I'm sorry or apologize.
I think that's the way some men are brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, we've been experiencing it with the women, which has been blowing me away. I've never heard of a woman like that.
I don't even know where that comes from, man. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know where that comes from.
Breaking
you know? From childhood, you learn. Say I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we tell our kids, you know. Not, oh, you're sorry.
Yeah, but it's got to have a root somewhere. I mean,
it's got to have a root.
Back to something. And I don't know, in your situation, have you ever asked?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, like I've said before, you know, that's just not her thing. You know, it's just not her thing. You know, it's just, you know.
To me, that's disrespect.
I think it is, too.
Yeah, that's how that would hit me.
Yeah.
Like, that's very disrespectful to me. And in other words, whether you feel it's right or not, do you want to disrespect me?
Right.
And say, well, you know, you got to deal with it anyway, and I don't care if it's disrespectful to you, that would cause more problem to me than the actual event.
Yeah.
If I tell you that what you're doing is dishonoring your husband, and disrespecting me, and you think that it doesn't need to be addressed, that would bother me much more than any event would.
See, I've been listening to this, and I can say that for me, I don't apologize. And I'm going to tell you where I got it from. I got it from my mom. My mom has never, not once, not never, that I can think of, verbally come out and said to me she apologized and she was sorry about anything. And there have been many times she's wrong. She wrote me one letter once. And in the letter, she went around it and in a roundabout way, she was kind of saying she was sorry, but it was never definitively, I apologize or I'm sorry. So, you know, fast forward to my life, everything that I can think about, I've never apologized anything. When people express to me something that's going on, what I will say is, okay, and then I'll address it.
How did that make you feel with your mother never stepping up and apologizing after she's hurt you?
Well, I would say that, you know, when I was younger, it used to bother me. But at this point, I don't really see it as something that I got to give a lot of energy to. I know when my mom makes adjustments, and definitely with her making adjustments, that's just who she is. But I stopped taking it personally and as disrespect because it's my mom. I know my mom wasn't personally trying to hurt me. I know she wasn't personally trying to disrespect me. You know, it's more of one of these things where she, for whatever reason, this is the way she handled it. So now, like I said, fast forward, you know, I don't do that. And my wife has kind of learned that with regards to who I am. Now, she'll be upset. She'll be saying everything she needs. I'm listening. And, of course, when we first started dating and, you know, early along, it's like, why can't you just say you're sorry? Why can't you just say this? And I was like, you know, when I say it, when I do legitimately say it, you'll know I mean it. Because I'm not one of these people that's not going to be quick to say I'm sorry just so we can move on, turn the page. Because that's disrespectful when I honestly might not necessarily feel like I'm sorry or I'm wrong or I've done anything. You know, sometimes the feelings and all that stuff getting caught up in it, you know, people just, you got to work through that. There's only so much that I can do in a certain situation in order to bring light to it or to try to make things better. But if I just say okay and I look to make adjustments, then there it is. I mean, through my actions, it's kind of like you can tell somebody you love them all you want, but your actions are really what define the love. It's not the words. And in this situation, it's no different. A person can tell you they're sorry all they want, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means that they're trying to get you to shut up and move on. But they're trying to just get you to bypass this and keep going on. And I'm not – the words, I don't do the words. And that's not true. I've never done the words. I just sit there and I just say, okay, I make adjustments, and she sees that. And then she knows that, you know, I've taken it into consideration and I really value what she says. Or that's what I say. I value your opinion.
So just like, and I don't know what time you got on, but I think Andrew was talking about a couple that the person said, I made you tea. That means I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, the words, forget about the words, but I'll do something that you really like for me to do, and I'll let you know that I'm trying to get back in the door.
But see, in that situation, I don't know if you're really showing that you made an adjustment. That's just you do something that I like. That's kind of like trying to smooth it over and move and turn the page. It's kind of like a quick sorry without saying sorry.
Sure.
What I'm saying is that I'm legitimately taking it in, listening to what she's saying. I'm not going to apologize for what I did unless I really, really mean it. And those are far apart, to be honest with you, fellas. That's far apart. But I'm going to make adjustments.
For sure. For sure.
And for me, like I said, it's my actions that mean more to me coming out and giving you some word. Because, I mean, I got to – and see, I think another part of it, too, is that's why my patience with people that are always apologizing just isn't there. You show me once, I'm pretty much going to pay attention. You show me the second time, that's it. That's who you are. I trust you to be you. I'm not going to deal with the sorries. I ain't got time for that. Just I'm going to treat you how you are. And there it is. But if you show me some actions, I don't think it has anything to do with pride. Like, for me, it's not a pride thing. It's like, all right, I hear what you're saying. There we go.
Okay.
Well, I feel like apologies is not for the person that's saying it. It's for the person that's receiving it. So if you feel like, I mean, the adjustments that you make, by you taking it in and you making an adjustment, that's on your part. That's for you. But the apology comes when in soothing is the other person, you know. And sometimes you have to take a different approach as far as making a person feel better about something you may have done to hurt them. You know?
But see, in that situation, I take it a step further. It goes back to what the gentleman said earlier. So if a person gives a quick sorry, right, in theory, you should be able to move on. You able to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said it and keep it moving. But if you got to continue to have it and still roll with it and you wanted to maybe battle a little bit, then it's like it's not really – I mean, what is the point?
Well,
because
you
just want to hear something. And you still want to lay a person out, or you still want to go around, and you still want to – I mean, there's no point. It's like just do what needs to be done. Take in the situation. And I don't know if it's necessarily a pride thing because it's not a wins-losses.
So when is a sorry genuine?
See, that's the thing. It's like I'm going to be honest with you. How can you ever tell that? That's the thing, and that's what I'm saying. It's the actions. Because what my wife knows, if I come out of my mouth and I say, I apologize or I'm sorry, that's got to be serious. Because she might not have gotten one for 2 years.
But you said that happens.
What's that?
You said that has never happened.
Yeah, I mean.
He says few and far between. He says mother has never apologized.
I think I gave her an apology once when we was dating. That last one I can remember.
Wow.
And that's the last one I can remember because it was a it needed that to make that statement because that's legitimately where I was and it was genuine. And I think that's the thing that sometimes gets caught up in, you know, when you're saying I'm sorry, I apologize. People, you know, if it's for the other person is always judging. The sorry puts you in a place where you are judging, and you're not supposed to be judging things. It's like, are they serious? Are they 100% sorry? Are they just 80% sorry? Is it 50% sorry? Is it 30%? I mean, why are you judging? Do you want the apology or not?
But
if you don't really want the apology, then you don't need to hear it. If you're going to judge it, then you need to shut your mouth. You don't need to hear it.
But the apology, just like communication, is two-way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, I mean, if someone apologized to me, I mean, that's not up to me to judge whether it was genuine or not or whatever because...
Right.
You know, bottom line is, you know, they apologize. And that, you know, as the brother said, his wife won't even do that. You know, his wife won't even mouth the words, I'm sorry, you
yeah,
know. So
yeah, yeah.
Just for them to mouth the words takes a lot. I mean, that's like eating humble pie. I mean, you got to, just like you said, last time you apologized to your wife was when she was your girlfriend.
Wow.
And that's just amazing. Out of all the mistakes you made since y'all been married.
That's it, though. But I just make adjustments. And I think
so
it goes back to
it.
It.
You just correct
yeah.
it. Okay.
Yeah.
You
now, what, just the I'm sorry part, then you wouldn't have to make adjustment?
No,
I'm trying to figure out
both.
The adjustment part because I'm trying to see, and I'm listening to you, and I'm trying to vision my wife. And
right.
Did she make adjustments? You know what I mean? Because she ain't saying sorry either. So did she make – I'm trying to figure out – and you know what? I think she has made some adjustments.
Well, see, there you go.
Because we have gotten past it. We've gotten past that. But a lot of it is because I know how she rolls, and I just choose to not fight about that issue anymore. So it's like, okay, no problem.
So what do you want to have happen with her just saying the words? Because if
yeah.
she's literally making adjustments – and we all know that nobody's perfect, so they're going to continue to do it. So, here's, and this is what I guess I'm saying, fellas. You get to a point where it's, do you just want to hear the words, or do you want somebody to actually change their actions?
Both.
Both.
But see,
both.
When you're hearing the words, I mean, what is, then the words are just for you. So, I need to do something in addition, because me changing my actions is already showing you that I'm taking this seriously, and I'm committed towards making a change, and I've valued what you said, and I'm doing it. So now I got to put the cherry on top of this ice cream, too. So I've served you ice cream. Now I got to put cherry on it just so you can feel good, too.
I'm going to give you a perfect example.
When you say those words, you actually show humility.
Yeah.
But I think that you show humility when you change your actions, too, because it takes somebody big to change your actions. Because words are cheap. We all know that. That's cheap.
With somebody. And you know, I was at a point in my life before I got saved. I mean, if I told you something and it was the truth, I really didn't care how you took it. It's the truth. Okay, if it hurts you, deal with it. It's the truth. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, since I came to Christ, you know, I still want you to know what the truth is, but I don't want to hurt you. If I've hurt you, that's not my, you know, I feel like I need to make that right because I don't want to hurt you. Before I got saved, I couldn't care less. I'm telling you the truth. You need to swallow it because, I mean, hey, life is tough. Deal with it, you know, and that's where I was at. But like I said, since coming to Christ, I don't want to hurt people. And if I've hurt you, I don't care if I'm right. I don't want to hurt you. You know, I don't know. You know, one of the challenges I had with my ex-wife was I was wrong about everything. And she, you know, she even, you know, many, many, many years later, still has never said, I'm sorry. And, I mean, you know, hey, it is what it is. But there's people that believe that they have the right to hurt you. And what it does, when you start to believe somebody believes they have the right to hurt you, you can forgive that person, but it's very difficult to have a relationship because you can no longer trust them because they feel like they can hurt you. They don't even have to step up to the plate. They don't have to humble themselves. And I think we do need to humble ourselves sometimes. Our kids need to hear it. Our wives need to hear it.
Words are powerful. And isn't it harder to make adjustments and easier to say I'm sorry?
Well, I got an example, and this is actually one of my examples that happened in my marriage, because my wife would ask me to help her out more in the kitchen.
Oh,
and I'd like, and I'd be like, yes, yes, I got you, I got you, I got you, I got you. And then I would drop the ball. You know what I mean? She wouldn't say anything, and then I would continuously drop the ball because I was busy doing this, that, and that. You know, I don't like the kitchen at all. I just want to go eat, and that's it. I'm done. You know what I'm saying? So to make a long story short, she sat me down, and she said, you said that you were going to help me, and you haven't. And then I said, you're right, I apologize, because I said I was going to do that, and I didn't do it. I dropped the ball. Not only did I have to apologize, but then I had to make adjustments. I had to get in that kitchen. So I had to do both. Because me saying sorry wasn't going to help her at all, because she still needed me in that kitchen.
Yeah, but right. It was more than your sorry. It was the I dropped the ball.
I dropped the ball, and I got to get back on my game.
Yeah.
But in any reason where you have to apologize, is dropping the ball. If you do something wrong, and even if you adjust to it, you drop the ball by having to adjust to it. So, you know,
yeah.
This is when I realized when saying I'm sorry was important. I was in the military and I was stationed in Korea, and one of our briefings was when we got there was don't take it serious when you're walking downtown in Korea somewhere off post and you get bumped by them that they don't say nothing, because they don't say I'm sorry, because it's so many of them they'll be saying it all day. And just know that they're with their culture, they really do feel sorry, but it's inside, and it goes without being said. But when I got off post and I saw how hard these people bump you because of how hard they're moving, it's like, nah, they need to say something. But then, you know, being there for a whole year, it's like, okay, I understand. You know, it is a lot of people downtown, and it's a whole lot going on. So, I understand the importance of you saying it, because it's like, you know, you feel like somebody's doing you wrong, and sometimes you feel like it's almost on purpose. And the reason I feel that saying I'm sorry to someone is important is because if you don't say I'm sorry and you just feel like, all right, I'll just adjust and not do it again, because by not saying I'm sorry, it's almost like not acknowledging or not helping the person acknowledge that, you know I did something to hurt you. I did something wrong.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that. I'm going to still adjust to it and make sure it doesn't happen again, but I acknowledge it, and I want you to know that I acknowledge it. I want you to know.
The key word.
Acknowledgement.
Yeah, exactly. Acknowledgement.
And it sounds sincere, though. When he said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgive you. You know what I'm saying? Because it sounds sincere.
Yeah.
And I guess that's when you know when it's legitimate.
But isn't it a person makes adjustments? I mean, if I make an adjustment to what you said, though, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to figure out is it the words mean more than the action.
Yeah.
Because it seems really crazy. It's kind of backwards, because it's like a person that, so flip it. They tell you they love you, and the word means more than them showing you that they love you.
I don't think it means more, but I think it's part of it.
Right.
Well, tell me this. If you don't say I'm sorry, you just adjust. Then what do you do when that person's hurt? What do you do when they're sitting up there explaining themselves to you? Do you just sit there and look crazy? I mean, what do? You don't acknowledge.
That's a good question. When my wife is hurt from something that I've done, I'm sitting there giving her my undivided attention. I'm engaging her in a conversation. I'm asking questions if I have a question, and I'm asking for clarity. And I'm definitely saying the things that I see, and we have a dialogue about it. But then I adjust. And I think that going back to the example that was given with in the kitchen and not helping out with the food, I mean, me saying that I'm sorry, that okay. I mean, but me getting up and being in that kitchen from then on out, helping her with the food and being present and doing those things, I mean, I guess what it comes down to it also is, you know, what has impacted maybe a person in their life in some capacities for them to be able to recognize whether or not sorries are valid or not. Because in some aspects, I mean, you get enough sorry from people in life, that does nothing anymore. It does nothing. If you want to show me that you are, because that's not, and I guess this is the great part about it, is everyone's entitled to their opinion. That's not acknowledging, just telling me that you're sorry. It's not part of it. What's acknowledging
nobody's saying just saying you're sorry.
Right. Well, it's okay, well, part of it. If it's part of it, it doesn't even bring anything to the table. I guess that's the better part to say. It brings nothing to the table for me.
I'm going to give you the same analogy as my man just gave it, but I'm going to bring it home. And let's just say you in the movies with your wife. You know what I'm saying? And 3 or 4 guys are walking and a dude bumps you hard. And he takes one step. And you already ready to go. Then he turns around and say, "My bad, brother, I ain't see you. I'm sorry." And keeps it moving. You see what I'm saying? But how would those words that he said to you stop the physical confrontation, I would think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, but...
you know what I'm saying? I saw this clip on YouTube, right,
mm-hmm.
where these two Mexicans passed each other, and one was with his boys or whatever. So he walked past this one guy, and they bump him hard, boom, kept going. So the one Mexican guy turns around and says something to him, right? So he turns around like, I guess basically saying, whatever, I don't owe you nothing, whatever, go your way. So the guy that was by himself, then spits in the guy's face.
Oh, no.
The guy that got bumped, the guy that actually didn't apologize, pulled out a gun and killed him right there. Bam, 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 shot him dead. He's in jail now, but all of that could have been avoided. He just acknowledged that he bumped the guy and just said that, you know what, my bad, I didn't see.
But see, fellas, I think the key to this is that we've now gone to extreme examples that are outside of the household. Okay.
Right. We have. But
we have. You're right.
It's all tied when it comes to respect. It's respect.
Yeah.
Right.
Brother said, you could be, you know, in all intents and purposes, you could be killing your wife by refusing to say you're sorry, killing her emotionally.
But
put
I think
it like that this: if you're not going to say sorry to your own wife,
yeah.
you're not going to say sorry to somebody that you know you bump walking up the street. Why would you? You won't even say sorry to your own wife. You're
right.
You're not going to bump the next person, I guess.
In another extreme circumstance, again, in this situation, you have to recognize who you may also be putting in harm's way with a situation like that. If I'm out there and I bump somebody with my wife and child, yeah, of course I'm going to make a decision based off of that in some capacity to make sure that it doesn't escalate into a situation like that. But what
That's
we're
true.
Talking about is this with regards to a situation
in the house.
Wife.
In the house. True.
Right.
Right. That's true.
So
I'm
keeping it honest with what we're talking about. And I'm
I understand.
In this.
But what you're saying is that you will be quicker or it'll be easier for you to apologize to a stranger than your
stranger.
Wife. A stranger than your wife. Is that what you're saying?
It would be easier and quicker to apologize to a stranger if it prevents a situation from escalating that would potentially jeopardize their safety. Yeah.
Okay. So here's my next question. Can too much pride destroy a marriage?
There you go.
It has destroyed marriages.
Yep.
With regards to saying I'm sorry, are we still on sorry or just pride?
No. Just pride. I mean, you can take it however you want to take it. This is a pre-written question, so I just threw it out there. It's not directed
yep.
at any one person. I'm just saying because it's, you know, we're flowing in that direction because you just made the comment, you know, to prevent something worse from happening. And there's been situations where people that just don't acknowledge, yeah, well, I've done wrong. They just, you know, make adjustments. But their own adjustments. The adjustments may not be effective. And then the wife says, well, you know what? I'm out of here. I can't take it anymore. So, you know.
But again, in that situation, I look at it like this. A person like myself, I'm just going to use me.
Yeah.
There's no pride in this.
Okay.
It's just legitimately who I am. There's no pride. So I don't know if that's the right word for the situation. And in the situation where you were describing the stuff with your wife, is it a pride thing or is it just who she is? Because pride is legitimately something that gets in the way of you making a good choice. There's nothing that's getting in the way of me doing this. This is just me.
There's something. There's something getting in the way of not saying I'm sorry. There's something. We just don't know what it is. I don't know what it is with her.
Right.
I can't
okay.
figure it out.
But
well,
back to your question, Mr. Hope, you said
yeah.
that can it destroy marriages? I think it's destroying marriages every day.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I take it back to your situation, Mr. Hope. Just imagine if your wife was as apologetic as you are. Wouldn't the emotional climate in your relationship improve greatly? I mean, what would that do to your relationship if she was, you know, said tonight, she was like, you know what, I've rarely or if ever apologized for the things I've done to you in our marriage or whatever, but I want to say right now I'm sorry. You know, please, please forgive me, and I'm going to do better. What would that do to your relationship?
I would be a dude on cloud nine, and I don't even know if that's possible.
For real, yeah.
So it's that powerful, and to your question, you know, can it destroy marriages? And one thing about it, it's like just chipping away. Just chipping away at the foundation, and you know, you made adjustments. She made adjustments or whatever, but it's like she needs that extra effort. That, as the brother said, that humility to it, that acknowledgement to say, I am sorry. I acknowledge that I've done wrong. I've done you wrong. I've offended you. I'm going to make the adjustments, but in addition to that, I am sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and just like Peyton was saying, I think that we need to get to the root of why it makes someone uncomfortable to say it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And I'll give an example. When I saw our 14-year-old, she would come and do certain things. And then when I asked her about it, she'd start talking. I didn't ask you to start talking. You know what I mean? I'm asking you, and I taught her, I said, all that talk can be eliminated with my bad. You know, and I'm taking it to their level. You know, I'm not telling you to say I'm sorry. Just say my bad. If you do something, you know it's wrong. Don't try to explain it. Just say my bad. And then we can go on our separate ways. You know, but that thing is you can pass it down. Just like Pete was saying, he never heard his mother say I'm sorry. I don't really remember my parents saying I'm sorry to me for certain things. So that's important to me now. You know, I didn't choose them, but I chose this wife. So if I choose you, I want you to say I'm sorry.
But see, that's one of those things I think, you know, when you think about it, that would be one of those conversations up front in marital counseling or whatever counseling people you talk about, because you can't expect somebody to come to the table and magically know that something as simple as the golden rule, which is essentially what I guess we're talking about, or, you know, saying you're sorry, that people are going to adhere to that. They can love you to death. You may not have ever had a situation even put you in a situation like that. But if you're not talking about that, how would you be able to, how would you even know that? Like, you would not know that. And I think that, you know, what's making this, you know, I'm struggling with this one because it's like, I don't know if it's necessarily, it's not pride. There's no pride in this. It's like, there's nothing that I'm just, you know, I'm trying to be better or holier now, you know. No.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just legitimately going to let you see through my actions. I have heard what you've said, and
it's
I'm
deeper,
going
man.
To adjust. Because
but it's deeper. It's deeper because if for some reason you want to do something different than saying I'm sorry, it's just those words coming out. Those words coming out is like, I'm not going
to
say it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's harder to make the adjustments than literally saying three words, I'm sorry.
That's why, in my eyes, the adjustments are more of a impacting event or change because it is easy to just say sorry. It's easy.
What you're not getting, this is what you're not getting, is that, as the brother said earlier, is that those words, as I just laid the example, the brother said he will be on cloud nine if just those words came off of his wife's lips. So just imagine, and you said that when you apologize, it's genuine, it's, you know, your wife is not, she knows that it's meaningful. So just imagine if you were more apologetic, what that would do for her. Not you that's making the adjustments. This is about her. It's not about you. And I think that it's rooted in maybe you don't think that you're wrong, you know, because you say you had the dialogue and, you know, you're asking questions. And it's all, you know, probing is like trying to get to the point where I'm not really wrong in this situation, you know. So
but
I think it's more for her than it is for you.
What if your wife said to you, you know, if you said I was sorry, it would mean a lot to me.
Right, right.
Mm.
And if I say that, and if she said that, and that's what she, But she's never said that. If she wanted me to say that, I could go along with it. Now, then I guess then no longer is she judging the, you know, waiting for the sorry. Now she's got to judge whether or not I'm genuine with it.
She doesn't have to judge
it. But guess what? You've done your part.
That's what I'm saying. If an individual has something that's inherently in them from some capacity, for whatever it may be, that they're not going to come out and say these words, but they're going to make adjustments, they're going to do something else or show you in another way that they were at fault. If you try to put them in a box to have them do something that's not genuine, you okay with that? With having something that's not genuine?
So you just said the key word. You said not genuine. So you don't feel sorry.
Right.
Well, you can't. That's what I'm saying. If I change the actions, I can't sit there and go through and just carry out. The actions are stronger than the words. Because when I'm sitting there and I'm dialoguing with my wife and I'm talking to her, I'm asking questions, it's because I'm doing what she's asking me to do. I'm actively engaging her in something that's frustrated her.
Exactly. You said, though, that my actions mean that I'm sincerely sorry. Okay? So when you say somebody just saying it, they're not sincere, you would be sincere.
Yeah,
because,
and when I bring that out,
right,
I'm genuine with it. But
But when you say you're sorry, you're genuine also. If you feel that you have to change something, there's a reason for changing something. You're changing it because, you know, you're sorry. That's genuine.
If I have to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I have to talk about it, does that? I mean, it's like, it's almost like, don't talk about it, be about it. And if
here's the thing. If your wife is okay with that, I think that's great.
Right.
But no. But he said that she wasn't. You said that she wasn't, right?
Like that. Most people are not built with you never having to say I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
And if your wife is okay with it, hey, and it works, great. But most people are not built that way.
The whole thing ain't comfortable with that arrangement.
Nah, I never really got settled into that one.
Like I said,
did.
Tony, to me, that would be disrespectful. If I told
you
and it bothers me when you don't step up and acknowledge that you've hurt me and that you've done wrong, that bothers me, yet you keep doing that, then I'm going to take that as you don't respect me.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I brought it up in our counseling session, you know, and so she knows it, that it bothers me, and I haven't seen an adjustment as of yet. Might come, might not, but it's dangerous because it can make you throw your car in reverse. And what
right.
I mean by that is instead of going forward with trying to be the best husband you can be, at a certain point you can say, you know what? I'm a poly right where I'm at. Because I can't get that respect.
Yep. Yeah, it makes you draw a line as far as how far you're willing to go and your dedication,
exactly.
Because this person won't show you that they're willing to go as far, you know, to make you feel better about certain situations. So it does kind of take away, I feel like, from things.
And you're right. And it could be a domino effect at that point, going backwards, the other way. You know,
yeah.
So we may not see the severity of it because, we're going to make adjustments. But without that verbal acknowledgement, sometimes can throw things in another direction.
But see, Tony, if he was married to somebody like your wife, it probably would be okay.
Yeah, because ain't nobody saying they're sorry. So everybody good.
Everybody's good.
Now, did your wife ever tell you that she's sorry for doing something?
Mine?
No, the one that was saying that he never says he's sorry.
Yeah, I mean, she does that. That's her thing. I mean, but yeah.
She does that.
But for me, though, the thing about it is, and I tell her this all the time, you ain't got to say this to me. You know, just change the action.
But see, people generally give what they need in return.
There you go.
Right.
Clean that.
Yeah.
And she's saying, I would bet you if she was on this call right now, she'd say, I would love to hear you say that you were sorry.
Yep.
Because
but I think what she would also probably follow up though, but when he does say it, I know he means it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I get what you guys are saying. I hear it. The good part about it is that people just got to have that conversation. at some point, hopefully before you get deep into a marriage, where you're trying to figure it out. Because at that point, you're right. It does open up a door. It does have a domino effect that things, and it will make you throw something in reverse and stop doing it. I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
And if you were married to somebody like Tony's wife, I think both of you would say, we never have to say that. It's okay. And you go, good. Mm-hmm. We're like, you know, some people say, you know, I don't need to tell you I love you. I told you that when I married you, and I don't need to tell you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if both of them are okay with it, great. Most people aren't built like that. But if you have two people that are built like that, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But most people need to hear it. They need to see it also, but they also need to hear it.
Mm, good words, good words. Does the pride that comes with your family name sometimes creep into your marriage? You know what I mean? Like, well, my family, we did things this way, and this is how we do things, and blah, blah, blah. And then you just try to run your household in that way. You know, like country club members. Yeah, we, you know, we, whatever. You know, sometimes we have things that, and I think Peyton actually talked about it, things that we've dealt with our family, prideful things. You know, like we'll never take get help from people. If we need it, we'll just man up. You know, are those certain things that you find creeping into your marriage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I believe that happens to everybody in the marriage. You kind of go by what you see and what you're used to growing up. So you bring in what, you know, you know nothing about marriage. You probably talked to anybody and you got married when you're young. You go by what you see. So you go by your family values and you try to bring it in and say, well, I wasn't born, you know, I wasn't raised like this. And that's where your conflict comes, especially when it comes to kids. And then maybe how you schedule time to go out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think finances, too, play a major role in that respect. Because in a situation where you may have to struggle with your new spouse or whatever, or things may be tight, you know, you may have to learn to budget. But you never, you know, coming up with your family, you didn't budget. Y'all went to McDonald's every night. Y'all went to the mall. Y'all went shopping. Money was never a conversation. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you used to. But now it's like a pride thing. Nah, you know, I'm not going to budget. I won't go, you know, I go shopping. I'm going to spend it just, you know. And in that respect, I think financing also has a lot to do with it. I think Ryan would speak on that. Mr. Finance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to let go of a lot of pride, you know, in that area because, you know, literally, you know, I thought that in my occupation, I thought that I was duly qualified, you know, to handle the finances, everything that was coming in, and, you know, any questions or anything needs to go through me, and if I don't approve it, it don't get approved. And, you know, I was the committee, the president, the vice president. It was just all through me, and you know, it caused a lot of conflict and strife because, you know, the wife, you know, granted, again, you know, was probably a little bit better in the area, but she wasn't terrible. You know, she wasn't bad, and that's how I was treating her. You know, like her input was nothing. And, you know, it caused a lot of conflict, you know, over the many years. And it took a while for me to, you know, really understand where she was coming from. But it helped, you know, when I finally, and you know what I did, you know, and it was about 7 years, you know, I've been married 11 years, but, you know, the first 7 years was just, you know, with the financial piece was just not pretty. But, you know, what I did, well, I said, I'm sorry, you know, and I made the adjustments and, you know, did all that as the brother was saying. But, you know, I literally say, you know, I'm sorry for how I acted and how I didn't, you know, respect your opinion as it relates to our finances. And, you know, that went a long way because it acknowledged that, you know, I was wrong. And, you know, that's what I wanted to ask, you know, the brother is that, you know, he said that when he does apologize, his wife knows it's sincere. But on the other hand, he said he does not apologize frequently, which means that it's not sincere because maybe he don't really think he did anything wrong.
Hmm. Okay. Wow. Okay. And that might be it, too.
Yeah.
That might be it, too. Because like I said, and I know we're going a little bit backwards, but we can. Like I said earlier, you know, my wife feels as though she does no wrong. So that's all probably tied into the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like if she said something that upset me, she said it, she meant to say it, whether it upset me or not. You know, and you know, she meant to say it. So why should I say I'm sorry?
Does she really feel she does no wrong?
No, no, I'm not going to say that she would come out and say that.
That's a good answer.
She has not come out and said that yet.
No.
That's your perception.
Yes.
But that's how
yes.
it comes off when somebody won't apologize.
Well,
right.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, right. So you're always right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I'm always wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, now you know your place.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to be Mr. Wrong Guy.
Mr. Wrong?
Mr. Wrong Guy, you know. I'm just not going to be at the wrong time, but I will be the wrong guy. Mr. Wrong,
yeah.
You know.
But I think that's what it is with people that don't apologize. In a lot of ways, they probably feel that they're not wrong. So why should they apologize? And then when it's like, it's no question, you know, it's no nothing, no question that they did it wrong, then they'll apologize. But if it's like, you know, a possible here, or I was wrong in this section at this time, or, you know, before this happened, I was right. You know, it goes back to that whole point about, if they think they didn't do anything wrong or did some parts right, then they ain't going to apologize. Because I did 25% of it right, so I ain't going to apologize for the 75% that's wrong.
Is that like a personality type character trait, like a type A personality thing? Or is it, does that come with the territory?
I think it's home training.
Okay.
Well, I think everything goes back to childhood, and the brother mentioned that in his childhood, but everything, just like I said, everything is rooted back to our childhood, whether it's talking about the pride issue or talking about something else. Everything goes back to, you know, the your childhood, how you were raised, you know, and your life experiences, bottom line. And the formative years, you know, I think they said by third grade, you know, a lot of things are intact. I think your personality is intact, maybe a little bit before then. But, I mean, literally your formative years by the time, you know, 0 to 18, you pretty much, those life experiences are going to shape you and mold you for the rest of your life.
Of your life.
And
yeah.
Those things are not necessarily good. You know, you, I mean, they may shape you, but some of them you got to battle down and beat back.
But, yeah, it's also going to, you know, even if you don't even try, it's still going to show up in your marriage because that's how you're going to treat your lady.
Exactly.
That's how your lady's going to treat you.
Yeah.
One thing, you know, I was told was, you know, is, you know, how you your wife act or your man act is based on their family values.
Family values. Okay.
Yeah. So you just have to monitor that before you make your decisions.
Yeah.
Because they'll come back to haunt you in your marriage.
And that goes back to the question. Now you brought it full circle in reference to, you know, your family name. And that pride coming into your marriage. And I think it's very detrimental. And I think sometimes, and this is just my opinion, sometimes we need to learn to let some of that go. Because your wife wasn't raised, I mean, some of the values are great. Like going to work, taking care of your family, you know, doing all those things, keep the name clean. But some things just don't fly when you're combining it with another household, another, you know what I'm saying? Somebody
yeah,
else's family values.
I found myself saying that to the kids the other night about, you know, when you leave this house, you're not only, your name is not only intact, but your family name's intact. That's what I told them. So you represent me. You're representing your mama.
how you act in school, how you act around, you know, other people. And we take that personal.
Yeah, and, you know, I would like to say, you know, on that, you know, just around that, that whole, you know, just talking about the pride issue, do we have so much pride that when we are having issues in our relationship, that we're so prideful and not to reach out, you know, to people or to resources that can help us in our relationship. You know, just acknowledging, hey, you know, I got some marital problems. You know, I need some help. I want the help. I mean, are we so prideful that we can't even do that sometimes? And that goes for both men and women.
You must be breeding for my sheep, brother. You read right off of my sheep. You know, I mean, because the question was that, but then the question had something about being in denial of the problem that you have and reaching out for help.
Yeah.
Or when somebody tries to help you, you always, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it.
Yeah.
And you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll tell you what my wife and I have found, that a great majority of the time, the men don't see the problem. And, you know, they don't usually seek help until, I mean, literally the marriage is in, you know, explosion mode.
I have to agree with that. I'm probably one of those statistical guys, too.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I'm nonchalant until I'm ready to snap, type, you know, where it's just been gone over, right over here.
I don't believe that because you're on this call every week.
Right.
I still have that issue, man. I still have it, man. This is a great call because it's helping me a lot. Cause,
Let me say this, and I've said this to Rodney before. When we started this call way back in 2000, whatever, a lot of people were invited, a lot of men, because it started off straight married man's call. You know, we're just going to talk about topics. We're just going to get it in, share from one another, learn from one another, build with one another. And a lot of people was like, nah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm good. What do you mean you good? Wasn't you the one that called me last week complaining about your marriage? And now you good. And I tell you, I got something for you. And now you good.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was so many brothers that was going down that road. Or they'd get on and say, oh, this is a great thing, but it ain't for me. It's pride.
Yeah.
It's pride. Yeah. I mean, as men, sometimes we don't want to reach out and get the help because we don't want people to know that we need help. Even if it's just an ear.
Right. Cause we have
just like Patrice just said. He said, man, I'm listening and it's helping me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was about to say. We've had tons of listeners because most of the time they just want to get on and you know, we thankful for the new callers. It's open to anybody, but most of the time people just listen and get the help. And I remember one of the guys said he had a coworker, a female coworker that was and this was way back. I mean, you talk about 2009. I mean, this was early in one of the shows. But long story short, he had a and he was one of the guys that's on. I don't even know if he's on here tonight. But his wife, his coworker, was telling him that her husband, you know, was just, you know, she's trying to talk to him. They, you know, their marriage was on the rocks, and you know, he told him, you know, plug into household stress or whatever, and then, you know, get on one of the calls. And she said, yeah, you know, I'll tell him, but, you know, he don't listen to me, you know, blah, blah, blah. So long story short, I think maybe about a few weeks went by, and his coworker came into his office. And, you know, she was like, I don't know what y'all are talking about on that call, but my husband has made a total 180. Y'all remember that story?
That was Bino. I remember.
Yeah, and literally.
I remember exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and literally, I don't even think that guy ever said anything. He didn't say his name. He just got
on
to listen. He didn't say nothing.
Nothing.
But at least that guy, part of the acknowledgement is picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Saying, I got some issues. I need to, you know, get some perspective on this.
For free.
You know. For free.
For free.
You know, brother to brother.
And guess what?
Love.
Anonymously.
Anonymously.
For free, anonymously. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
But some of us won't do it. And not to place judgment on it, just some are not ready. Because what goes on in their house, a lot of people say what goes on in my house stays in my house. But the thing about it is, you ain't got to tell you nothing that goes on in your house.
Right.
And yep. still get it. And that leads me to another question. Can pride stunt your personal growth in marriage?
100%.
Wow. Wow.
Can it stunt your personal growth in marriage?
Okay.
Pride and arrogance.
Yeah. It's one and the same.
It's the same.
I ain't doing that.
Ain't nothing wrong with me.
Exactly.
Listen, you go ahead on. I'm going to stay home today.
I'm good.
I ain't going with you. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem isn't you. It's your problem. It's not mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a strong question.
It is. It got quiet.
It is. I mean, it goes, also, pride goes into trust factor in a home.
Yeah.
Because your pride is not going to allow your, you know, your wife to hang out with her friends. Your pride is not going to allow you to allow another man in the house if you're not there. You know, it's just some rules that you're just not going to have because your pride won't let you have it. You're not going to allow somebody to come in your house and dirty up your carpet. And leave. Pride ain't gonna let you do that. Somebody come in your house and take over your house. No, that's not gonna happen.
What about with the kids, though? Is that something you can teach your kids to be prideful?
Well, you want them, yeah.
Yeah, the brother said it. He don't want to call it pride, but
no. I'm not talking about the sorriness. About saying I'm sorry. I'm just talking about, in general, just teaching them to be prideful of what they have, their family name, blah, 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 who they are.
Well, I mean, if you're talking today's world.
Yeah.
Today's world, I don't think kids understand the definition of pride. Yeah, they understand the definition of want.
Yeah.
But you know, some kids can really get into, you know, look at where we live, look at the vacations we go on, look at the cars we have. And I told my kids, you don't have jack. This is my house. Okay? I don't own anything. Let's get it straight. Don't get it twisted. Okay? You have what I've given you. You've earned nothing.
Good talk.
You know, I think I try to instill pride in my kids in their schoolwork. You know, I told my daughter she came home with her first bad test. And I told her I was very disappointed in her. And I said it in an angry way, but I was dead serious. I was like, I am very disappointed in you because I know you're better than that. And, you know, I had, she had her head down. I said, you're going to keep your head up. You're going to go in there and you're going to restudy. You're going to take this test over. And you're going to do better because you don't accept less. You know, you're not going to accept a bad grade because you know you're bad. You have to have self-esteem. And that's part of pride is that self-esteem, especially when you're talking about little girls because they can lose that real quick if you don't stand on that. You know, that principle of being strong. And she came home the next day and said, I retook the test, Daddy, and I got all 100. I got them all right. And then, you know, next week she was doing a social service. I got 100. And now she's excited about work. But she hit that, when she first ran into that first test, and she, you know, she thought she was smart as she was last year and found out she needed to really bite down on them books. It was a different world for her. And I made sure she realized that by saying I was disappointed. And I think my disappointment, her pride made, you know, I think she felt like he let me down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah,
I let my dad down, so I got to do better.
And I think also we got to be careful in that respect too, because a lot of situations we try to have our kids live the dreams that we weren't able to live, or try to duplicate, you know what I mean? Like press them to play basketball or press them to do a sport they may not even want to do. You know, with our pride is saying, no, no, no. You know what I mean? You got to get out there and be your best and practice and whatever you need to do. Our pride is pushing them to the next level without really checking whether the, if it's something that they're really interested in.
And that I agree with.
So that's another question. Okay, I'm getting ready to ask this one question. Brothers, don't laugh. Don't laugh, because y'all going to laugh. I'm just asking you, don't laugh. Is a statement because I said so an excessive, an act of excessive pride? I asked you not to laugh.
Oh, man, that's an inside joke, Mr. Hoax. That's good. Because I said so.
Hey, see, now you're going to roll into next week, because that was one of mine. You rolled into right my conversation for next week.
Because I said so.
Anyway, how's that working for you, Tony?
It's not. It's not.
You need to apologize because I said so. Try that.
Yeah.
I didn't even let that roll off my lips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Might have to, you know, move into your spare room.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was actually a funny. I made a little funny just now because you know how we always joke with that, you know, and whether that's prideful or not, I have no idea. I don't know how long ago it's been that we had said because I said so, and we've always cracked on it, you know. It's all good. We didn't have a monkey wrench, and I'm going to throw this monkey wrench out. If a man won't take his family to church because of his lack of religion, and he feels he can lead his family to his beliefs or non-beliefs, is that a selfish act of pride?
I think it's an act of ignorance.
Okay. Do
because
tell.
If you don't have the spirit of the Lord in you, I mean, the last thing you're going to think about is God. I mean, your God is something else. Football or whatever it is. So, I mean, you know, church is only for those that have the Spirit of God calling them. I mean, either that or it's just a fake act to walk in and make it look to people like, you know, like you're quote-unquote religious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pride has actually kept a lot of people from accepting Jesus as Savior.
I mean,
if you think about it, just admitting sin and acknowledge that in our own strength we can do nothing to inherit eternal life. I mean, that's a constant stumbling block for prideful people.
Well, let me just hold your thoughts for 1 second. Let's clear it up. Is that a role? Would you guys on the phone say that is definitely a role for the head of household to make sure that your family gets to know the Lord?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, it only goes back to if you have Christ in you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have Christ in you, what's the last thing you're thinking about? Before I got saved, a buddy of mine, I had an issue, and he said, well, I don't know the answer. He said, I'm going to do some study in the Bible, and I'll let you know, what I come up with. And I said, the heck are you going to read the Bible for? What is that? You know, and I couldn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me that you're going to read some book that some jokers wrote to control people to give me an answer to a problem I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I didn't know. You know, the Bible to me was just a book, and you know, to me, religion was just, you know, what people use to control weak people.
Wow.
I would come in and say that, you know, from a spiritual perspective, that, you know, the God Himself sits on the throne of the heart, you know, until man says, "Hey, I'm coming down, and I'm gonna let God be on my, you know, be on the throne of my heart." So I would definitely say that that's an act of pride.
Act of pride, yeah, for sure. For sure. Wow. And I would go on a I'm going to go out and ask another question, and this may be way out there. But if you're the head of household and you don't know Jesus, is it your responsibility for the safety of your family and the sake of bringing them up right to at least explore that avenue?
Well, it all comes down to how you understand whose responsibility is it to save you. If you believe that your responsibility is to be saved, and it's not God's responsibility to call you, then, you know, that's a situation.
Gotcha.
But if you don't subscribe to that theology that man can save himself and he has to look after God and God hasn't called him, that's a different answer.
Yeah, you look at how, even back to the topic at hand, you know, pride, that's giving ourselves credit for, you know, something that God has accomplished.
Sure.
You know, and pride is taking the glory for something that belongs to God alone, and then just keeping it for ourselves. So, in essence, pride, as we're talking about tonight, is essentially self-worship.
Yep.
Because, I mean, God, and this ain't Bible study, but
no,
we're talking about pride, and God hates pride.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the kind of pride, you know, we feel about, like a job well done or something like that. I mean, that's good. As the gentleman talked about his daughter, you know, going back, hitting the books, studying, you know, for the test, you know, that, I mean, and got 100 the second time around. I mean, that's good pride. But the whole pride that stems from self-righteousness, you know, that is something is, you know, you get into that self-worship, and it's, I mean, it becomes a hindrance to seeking him.
And you might, and you have just touched on the whole essential of why it's so detrimental to a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's because what you said has got a lot of I in it. Got
yeah.
a lot of me in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A lot of me, a lot of I, a lot of my way, because I said so, a lot of, you know, which generally just doesn't work in a marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. And even Satan was cast out of heaven because of pride.
Because of pride. You know?
He wanted to replace God himself as the, you know, the rightful ruler of the universe.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, so, I mean, that's why, you know, that's one of the things I one of my pet peeves when I see, you know, a lot of women are carrying that responsibility. Wives are carrying that responsibility.
Yeah.
Sometimes the husbands are like, yeah, it is what it is. You go get your word, and I'll see you when you come back. You know? And
yeah,
then,
a man that truly has Christ in his heart isn't going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, that's, again, if, you know, and that goes back, you know, to the word, if a woman has married him, and knowing he doesn't have Christ in his heart, she's going against what the word has to say anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so many times women say, well, I'm going to marry you and change you. You know, and it's not up to her to save him. It's up to God.
Yep. Yep. Good words. Good words. I mean, because, you know, a lot of things happen, you know, in a marriage that I believe if we don't have the proper guidance, and if pride is keeping you from that proper guidance, then you'll have issues that are going on that you won't know why, and you won't know how to fix them.
Yeah.
Yep. I think
you
pride
know what I'm saying?
Seeking help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And again, and Rodney already touched on it, but a lot of times it's denial that there's a problem.
I think
you
pride
know?
Guys off this phone call.
Hmm?
I think pride keeps a lot of guys off this phone call.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Absolutely. For sure. For sure.
Together.
Yeah. And we don't do any attacking, nothing. We just, you know.
We just talk.
I mean, Peyton was on the phone earlier talking about not being able to say And I think that he understood how important it is to express that you're sorry. I hope he got that. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes, you know, we need to hear it.
I know I do. I'm not built that way.
I'm not built. Yeah. You know. And if I got issues, I want to know it. I don't want to sweep it under the rug because it's just going to fester to a place where I can't get it back.
The other thing to me is if you have so much pride, if my wife has so much pride, if my wife brings something to me, okay, I don't have to always be right. And if she brings something to me out of respect for her, you know, I'm going to seriously consider, you know, maybe I need to change this. If she were to say to me, you know, honey, you never say I'm sorry. And I said, well, I do it by changing my actions. She said, you know, for me, it makes me feel more important, like you care about me and my feelings if you apologize, because it makes me feel like you think you're always right. Because that's where I would take it. I mean, I get so, like, oh, so you're always right, because you never step up and say you're wrong.
Mm.
That's how I would take it.
Yeah.
Cause a problem for me.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said if she didn't respond after I brought it to her, that would cause a much deeper problem for me, because then it, to me, that hits me as a lack of respect, and you're not honoring me as your husband.
Good words. I tell you, man, I guess we could talk all night about this pride thing.
Yeah.
I guess we can, you know. And again, I don't remember us ever going over it to this extent, you know. But I'm still trying to touch on that masking pride thing. I mean, something that's going on in the marriage that's being masked by pride, and how many of us have these issues or whatever issues that we're having. But pride is keeping us from bringing it out to the...
You're breaking up.
Hello?
Yeah, I still hear you. But I would say this as far as pride goes. What about the pride that we have? You know, it goes back to my earlier question, but your position in society or the longevity of your marriage and the pride from admitting or acknowledging that you have issues, you have marital issues. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you know, you got people that are married, you know, 40 years and are unhappy. Or, they're this or that in the community and they've been married and that's their husband, that's their wife. But you go to their house and there's no love. You know, the pride to say, you know what, I know I'm the CEO of such and such or the, you know, the head of this or the head of that, or we've been married this long, you know, 80 years. But, I mean, just acknowledging the pride, acknowledging, yeah, you know, we got some issues too, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Like, just imagine if the pastor got up in the pulpit and was like, yo, you know, I know we about to go into the word, but you know, I'm having some marital issues. You know, I need y'all to pray for him. Or whatever the case may be, people be like, whoa, you know, not the pastor. You know, not him. He's the pastor. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think that we, in some ways, we put people up on a platform that have had, you know, long-lasting marriages or are, you know, upstanding members in the community, that they're exempt from marital issues, which is so not the case, because we got guys from all walks of life on here. And, you know, we pick up the phone, we say, we got some issues.
Yeah.
You know,
we got some issues.
But we all had to break that cycle because, you know, pride wouldn't let us do this in the past.
But why do we do that as men? Why do we have so much pride sometimes to ask for help when we know that help will pretty much lead us in the direction of finding the cure for the problem?
Because that's
how
we're taught. I mean, we're taught to say, you know, you got to handle your business. You got to, man up. You got to mm-hmm. fix your problems. You got to get off your feet, you know, stand up.
Do you know the rate of pride that's keeping brothers from going to the doctor?
Yeah.
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 I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Now I'm all right. I'm good. I took me some Robitussin. I'm not going to the doctor. I'm good.
For a swollen ankle.
You know, I mean, but for us, I mean, for me, you know, and my dad's a doctor. But for me, it's I ain't got time to get sick. I got to make this paper.
Right.
You know, I got to go to work. I don't have time to take off and go to the doctor. I mean, that's how some men think. I mean.
Yeah.
Especially African-American men, is that the importance is making sure that we keep that light on and we don't have time to be sick. And some of that could be in the past we didn't have health insurance, so it
yeah.
was just, but you know, even now when I have health insurance, I'll probably go to the doctor once or twice a year.
Yeah, but is that pride or fear?
I don't think it's pride or fear. I just think it's
could be a
little ain't
bit
got
both.
Time to go.
Yeah, but you may. I mean, yeah, I mean,
get off and take the kids all the time. Somebody coughing, let's go to the doctor. You know.
Okay,
before
but
your
hold
own
on.
Self.
We gonna stay on that street for a minute. I want to stay right there for just a minute because you said I got to make that paper.
Mm-hmm.
So if you said, I got to make that paper, who makes that paper if you're taking out the game for a week or a month because you didn't know something was coming up because you never went to go get it checked out?
Nobody, you know. We stopped.
Well, look, in most of our households, if we stop, the train stops.
Yeah, the light go out.
Light goes out. Pride. I'm not going to the doctor. I'm strong. I'm good. And then, boom, we get hit.
You see it all the time. I've known older guys. I've seen it all the time, man. You know they sick. You know that they diabetics and need that medicine. Hey, I got to go to work. I ain't got time to stop by the CVS. I'm past the CVS, but I won't turn in there and get that medicine.
Yeah, I got a situation that I can tell you all about pride. And that was, I think it was in 2005. I got I had a physical, had a checkup, and, you know, the results came back. It was like, yeah, you need to check on your thyroid. And I was like, what? You know, what are you talking about? So that was in 2005. So I was like, yeah, whatever. I ain't had no, you know. They were asking me all the symptoms. Do you have this? Do you have? I'm like, no, 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 no. And I honestly legitimately didn't have any other symptoms as far as what they were talking about, my thyroid levels being a little off. So I was like, yeah, whatever. I feel like, as the host said, you know, I'm good. So I think 2008 comes around. And, you know, get my regular physical, get my checkup and everything. And they say, yeah, you know, Mr. Turner, everything's good. We told you 3 years ago you need to check on your thyroid. And, you know, the results have shown again that your thyroid level's off. And I was like, man. You know, because before, in 2005, I think when I did my blood work, I had the flu and like a stomach virus right before I was getting over it, you know, right before I went to get my blood work and everything done. So I just attributed it to that. But when it came back again in 2008, you know, literally I had to do something about it. And, you know, and even still, you know, this is 2 times, 3 years in a row. And even still, my wife had to really poke me and prod me and say, you know what? You don't make the appointment, I'm making the appointment. You need to get it mm-hmm. checked out, and you need to let me know when you made the appointment because I'm going with you, you know. And I was just like, okay, you know, because that pride, you know, I was like, I'm good. I'm you know, I'm young, strapping, young man, you know, I'm virile, you know, I ain't got no problems. So, You know, and literally she laid it down for me. She was like, look, you know, just as you were talking about the train stop, you know, and if case, you know, the head of household go down. She was like, look, you know, you got two kids now, whereas in 2005 we just had the one.
Yeah.
And she was like, do you want to be around for them? You know, do you want to make sure that you're around for them, that you do what you need to do? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, she was like, you need to do what you need to do about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and thankfully, you know, we, you know, took the steps necessary and everything. And, you know, I think 2009, I can't even remember, but I had to have my thyroid gland removed, completely mm-hmm. removed. And, you know, and that was another prideful decision because they were like, look, you know, we can do this method, you know, without the surgery, some laser stuff or something, or, you know, we can go ahead and just take it out and you have to take a pill for the rest of your life. So, you know, I'm like, I ain't going under the knife. You know, you sure? You know, doc, you know what you're talking about? So, I mean, literally, you know, I opted for the surgery and, you know, thank God I'm still here. Surgery went spectacular, and, I pop a pill every day, and I have to for the rest of my life. But the whole pride issue, back to the what the host was talking about, is that, you know, I wasn't even thinking about, you know, long term. And I think that's what the brother was talking about, you know, short term. He got to keep them lights on, you know, would have got to keep everything going.
Yeah.
But, you know, long term, you got to be around. You know,
you got to be around.
You got to make those appointments, and if something comes up, you got to go.
You got to put that pride in that back pocket.
There you go.
You know.
Yeah. And I learned that the hard way when I had this tumor in my nose, man. I was in there, couldn't breathe and all like that. I was like, man, I got to go handle this.
Yeah. We know. We was with you. We remember. We heard you on the phone. We heard your voice. You sound like somebody was pat a tissue to your nose.
But you know, when they said, "Oh, it can be cancerous," and we gotta cut it out, and we gotta test it, and then that's when it gets scary. It's like, oh,
yeah. But why do we always wait to that? and look, a lot of us are guilty of it.
Right.
A lot of us are guilty. I went and had a prostate test, a digital test, one time years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I am not in a rush to go ever get that done again.
Yeah.
So I opt out and say, look, if y'all can't test through my levels through my blood, then I just won't know.
Right.
That's pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want no man's finger up in me, but, you know.
Ooh, TMI.
But it is no. But listen. But
I had
that's
that same issue with the hemorrhoid. With the hemorrhoid back there, man. I'm trying to
think. TMI.
I was rolling down there, had that little donut somewhere, man. I'm trying to tell you. Went to the store, got all the AAA extra. Anything from going to that doctor.
Man.
The first thing he going to say is drop them. You go back
yeah.
here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And doctors, you know how doctors are, man. They talk to you, all right, drop them, bend over, hold, wait.
Yeah.
This is a concerning issue, and I understand that, but we talking about an area that's supposed to be releasing waste. We don't need anything going up. We need things coming out this spot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I got a funny story, too, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was just, that's it, I'm done. I'm just like, man, you know, you're at the doctors, and that, you know, guys get nervous.
Yeah.
I think my pressure goes up every time I go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Just on the concern that they're going to find something.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, but Rodney, don't get me wrong. Well, if we're on these calls, we're talking about things that can save your life, we need to talk about.
True that.
Because I had the same problem. It was a hemorrhoid issue, too, which I didn't know. What it was freaked me out. I tell my wife, we gotta go to the emergency room because something was not right. Right? So we go in the emergency room, right? And the nurse comes, she says, take your pants off, put this gown on. You know, I'm like, yeah, just let me know what it is. I'm thinking, I'm one of those, I think they call them hypochondriacs. I'm like, man, oh, you know, I'm thinking everything's cancer. So I'm like, okay. So she says, turn over on your side. I need to take a look. Okay, now, I'm like, you know, you're a doctor, you do your thing. Then she tells my wife, I need you to come around here and hold the light.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean? So I'm still tripping that I'm even in there. And she's like, I'm not holding that light. I said, you better go grab that light. Don't get scared now. You don't want to drag me up in here. Because I said so. And then they said to me, you need to go get a colonoscopy. That was it. Then I went to talk to another doctor. He said, you need to go get a colonoscopy. So now there's two people. But he was the one who performed the colonoscopy. Everything was fine. It was just hemorrhoids or whatever. It's gone. But, you know, it had to be a warning sign for me to go because I never would have went.
Yeah.
I never would have went. You know, they tell us, you know, go get your colonoscopy done. Go get your prostate done a certain amount of time. We don't go.
Yeah.
Unless there's a problem.
Yeah.
Pride.
That's what I wanted to say, too, about pride that I don't know if we touched on with 10 minutes and the final lap to go. But how come we don't listen to our wives? I mean, male pride? Is it our ego? I mean, why don't we listen to our wives?
Can I read my last question?
Yeah,
can I read my last question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can you handle constructive criticism from your spouse?
No, oh, I cannot.
Wow. Yeah, no.
No.
I mean, check it, fellas. You know, we're in the adult hour. You know, 10 to 11 is the adult hour. I mean, suppose she literally came out, it's like, you're just not measuring up in the bedroom.
Damn.
Wow.
Would it affect your pride?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be up all night.
Yeah, that's going to affect your sleep, everything else.
You can be up all night.
Yeah, that's an ego shot. So, no,
It is an ego shot, but then you can say, well, you married me.
Wouldn't you rather her tell you than hear it through the grapevine? Yeah, you know, she with this other dude because he couldn't handle it.
Whoa, yeah.
That's
or would you rather her not?
Yeah.
I mean, if you weren't doing the thing, would you rather her tell you or would you rather her not?
I mean, yeah, I'd rather her, you know, anything, I'd rather know.
Yep.
Whatever the case is, I'd rather, you know, dance around. I mean, yeah, you can dance around a little bit, but when you finish dancing, tell me what the deal is.
Maybe that's why she doesn't say I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Who knows? Who knows with these women nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, but isn't that one reason why we have arguments all the time with our wives? It's because of pride?
Yeah.
Some things you're like, oh, I'm just not going to take that.
Dude, you know, it goes back to...
Now you're messing with my manhood. I got to step up on this one.
It goes back to taking road trips. And when the wife says, hey, I think you need to turn here. I think we need to stop and get a map. And we'd be like, nah, I got this.
We got a GPS now. We don't have that issue.
Exactly. GPS was for us, not for them. For us.
Right.
So we no longer have to say, I know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I always knew where I was going, so that didn't have a problem.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I've definitely been lost on the road. You know,
I've
been
lost a couple of times by myself and then go back and be like, oh, yeah, I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I did the night before. Can't be lost as long as you got gas.
That's right.
Yeah. So I mean,
but even at work, I mean, you know, your worst critic is going to be your wife.
Yeah.
At least mine is. I mean, my wife came out and told me one time that, you know, treats you too soft on your employees. And I was like, what? Then, you know, I think you're too soft. You wouldn't be coming home. And it seems like they're going to walk all over you if you continue that, go this route. Because, see, my wife is just a thug when it comes to work. She just don't take any crap from anybody. And I'm like, well, you know, it's good to say that as an employee, but when you're a manager, you got to kind of balance that out.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
Or you ain't going to have nobody working for you. They ain't going to do nothing you say. But, you know, it's your worst critic is your wife.
But are you supposed to listen or not?
Oh,
I mean, that's the question.
To listen.
I mean, but are you supposed to say, okay, honey, you're right. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. As a man.
That's a good recommendation, and I'll take what I need out of it.
You'll take it under advisement.
That's
advisement.
Right.
Yeah, because we're supposed to know pretty much.
Right.
That's
we
right.
are the head, so we're supposed to know. But I say a lot of times she's been right, and I'm only going to say this on this call. A lot of times she's been right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but
and
is that pride too, and saying, you know what, baby, you right.
Well, let me tell you this. We have done. I'm one of those guys that will try to experiment certain things, financially, whatever. And she'll say, "I'm with you, but I think we should do it another way." And there's a few times where she was right, like 3 times. so now we come to the point where it's like she has an equal say, and I think that makes us so much powerful, more powerful, because if she doesn't agree to it, then it doesn't get done, and vice versa. Opposed to me saying, "Well, I'm the man of this household, and I think that we should go ahead with XYZ." Everything's a discussion now. And I had to put my pride somewhere else just to, you know, to get to that place. Because trust me, I was never at that place ever in my life. It was always what I say, go, and let's go. But after she proved me wrong so many times, I got no ground to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that I can agree with.
Yeah.
I think we get caught out there every once in a while.
Yeah. So you put the pride in the back pocket. I think some things will work out a little bit better. For
mm-hmm.
us, it's kind of hard, though, because it took me a long time to get to that point. Yes, sir. Well, I think it was a pretty fair call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty decent.
I think it was a pretty fair call.
Hey,
you know,
Tom, can I throw this in there right quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the follow-up on your call this week, I'll call next week, is about control.
Janet Jackson control?
Janet Jackson control.
Yeah, that's control.
All types of control. You know, people don't want to give up not only their pride, which is part of it, but control of the finances, control of the bills, control of the family, the discipline, and it affects the family life. So that's next week's topic, control.
True. That's what's up.
And the week after that is my marriage recession proof?
Is it? Is it, Mr. Holmes?
I don't know, man. That's what I heard at the water cooler. I don't know. It might not be. But, you know, that's the rumor.
No, it's not. That's not a true rumor.
That's not it, huh? No,
no,
I tried.
That's not it. No.
I tried.
Co-ed. Yeah.
And that's, wait a minute, hold on a second. Who's co-ed is that again?
No.
That's Patrice co-ed, right?
Yeah, that's not till November 16th.
Yeah.
It's singles up to November 16th. We got the next in November.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yep.
Control.
Yeah. So, I guess, you know, to sum up our call, pride can destroy your marriage.
Ooh, we can.
Too much pride can stunt your growth in a marriage. Getting to a point where the words don't mean anything to you, we got to realize that they may mean something to your spouse or to whoever you're in a relationship with. I'm sorry is so powerful, it doesn't make sense.
Yep.
You know, and just like Rodney said earlier, sometimes you got to give them both. You got to say, I'm sorry, and make the adjustments at the same time.
Yep. Pride comes before the fall.
Pride comes before the fall. And on the spiritual level, Rodney said it best, the Lord hates pride. It is another killer, like crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, too much NFL channel, but it's all good. But anyway, I'm getting ready to turn this thing off so we can go on open mic. Give me 1 second.